I'm going to begin with a reading from the book of Revelations. Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth. The former heavens and the former earth had passed. I saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of the heaven from God as a bride prepared to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice saying, "This is God's dwelling among the people. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, crying out or pain, for the former world has passed away." The word of God. I come today with the hope that amidst the pain and the turmoil of a pandemic, our hearts can be changed, our spirits renewed, our hope restored. I come as your sister in Jesus Christ, the Jesus who came to us as God-man, the Jesus who understands our plight because he too grieved at the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, at the grave of his friend, Lazarus, and with the widow of Nain whose only son had died. Jesus, the preacher, who was noticeably sad when the rich young man walked away. Jesus, the faithful Jew, who looked over his beloved Jerusalem and wept. What is this phenomena we call grief? Psychologists tell us it is an internal, physiological, and emotional response to loss. It's natural. It's a normal condition of the human spirit. Grieving can stimulate emotional and spiritual growth and might even be considered developmentally essential. It can also be cumulative. Left unrecognized or unattended, grief can cause undue pain, limit our personal resources, and negatively affect our relationships with our God, ourselves, and others. Most of us are familiar with Kubler-Ross's stages of grief: denial, anger, depression, bargaining, acceptance. Experience tells us these so-called stages are not linear nor sequential. They are more cyclical in our experience. When suffering a grievous loss, we move back and forth between these stages, much as we do the rooms in our home. The movement is less planned than spontaneous and can be triggered by newly occurring events in life, which may seem unrelated to us to an earlier loss. Grief comes in different sizes and shapes. We've all experienced personal grief at the death of a close friend or a family member, the end of a significant relationship, a shattering physical or mental health diagnosis. Hopefully, when in the throes of personal grief, we have each had supportive persons, a faith community, and the internal resources to draw upon as we moved through that period. This current era, this time of pandemic, has compounded our grief experience by adding two different forms of grief. The first of these is collective grief. Now, many have experienced collective grief when, as a part of a geographical group, perhaps, you've been struck by natural or man-made disaster, floods, hurricanes, fires, the closing of a neighborhood school, or the bankruptcy of a local business. With a groundswell of assistance, those immediately affected are often able to survive and move on with their lives, not unaffected, but with a renewed sense of gratitude, hope, and faith in humanity. Within this worldwide pandemic, collective grief is very grave, far more extensive and pervasive than we have experienced before. Citizens of multiple countries, including our own, have not only lost beloved family members, community members, and fellow citizens, but their very livelihoods, jobs, investments, retirement benefits, those things meant to secure our futures. I'm confident that many of you can name family, friends, or perhaps yourself who are experiencing this type of loss. As we all stand in solidarity with the millions who've lost their moorings, a sense of normalcy. And as if that weren't enough, layered on top of personal and collective grief is a new phenomenon. We call it anticipatory grief. It's that dark cloud of anxiety, worry, disillusionment that a minuscule organism might rob us permanently of our sense of self, of safety, of a future for ourselves and for our children. We are being called upon to face our mortality. Amidst all this personal, collective, and anticipatory grief, we are asked to embrace necessary precautions to prevent the spread of the virus. Precautions which, while reasonable and even desirable, seem unnatural, disconcerting, and can compound our sense of loss. I'll name just three. The disallowing of our customary ways of worshiping, of celebrating Eucharist, of burying our deceased, of celebrating family events, graduations, marriages, etc. Secondly, the limiting of personal interactions through social distancing, the seeming inability of companioning our elderly and ill family and friends. Even thirdly, the caution against physical touch, something we all need, the hugs, the kisses, the gentle caring, the touch. The situation is made even more complex by the dearth of scientifically based information that is available to us, especially in the media. And likely our own disappointment around our government's lack of readiness to respond and the failure of governments throughout the world to collaborate for the common good. So about now you're probably thinking, well, thanks a lot, Rose Miriam. I was hoping you'd make me feel better. And so far, all you've done is reminded me of how miserable we are. It is not my intention to encourage our groveling and our misery. It is important, however, if we are to accept, even co-create, that new heavens and new earth, that we realize the debilitating tendencies of grief and loss, and that we look within those very experiences of our own vulnerability for the signs of grace and challenge. So let's spend a few moments considering how loss can both negatively affect and more so positively challenge us, even perhaps become Cairo moments in our lives. Psychologically speaking, it's helpful to name our losses, claim them as our own, identify our emotional reactions. If previous serious losses of the past are triggered and come to the surface, tend to them. Be gentle with yourself. Recognize them for what they are. Try not to minimize your losses or compare them with others. Resist that sense of guilt for being normal and having natural reactions of anger, sadness, resentment, jealousy. Name the challenge, the opportunity, the need for support contained within your loss. Invite that support, even as you offer it to others. Psychologists use the term reframing. It's a therapeutic practice of taking an articulated experience, a specific loss, and the story of that loss, and re-examining one's emotional and cognitive responses, looking for more life-giving or spiritually challenging interpretations. So the question might be, can I allow my experience of vulnerability or even helplessness be reframed to put me in touch with the gifts of understanding, compassion, and cooperation I have to offer? I'll repeat that. I think it's important. Can my experience of vulnerability or even helplessness, we all know that out of control feeling, can I reframe that to put me in touch with my gifts, God-given gifts of understanding, compassion, and cooperation that I have to offer? Physiologically, dealing with loss can be exhausting and stressful. Do you know and recognize your reactions under stress? Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are your nerves on edge? Are you caving into that sweet tooth? Are you skipping your daily walk and then engaging in some form of self-loathing over the fact that you didn't take the time or have the time? Are you blaming? We all have some addictive tendencies. So, are you eating too much, sleeping too much, isolating and spending inordinate amounts of time on computer or in front of the TV, ruminating in your anxious thoughts? Welcome to the human race. It's during such times as stress that our addictive behaviors are most likely to reappear. A single step, a proactive baby step in addressing those behaviors can be huge. And we all know which ones are appropriate for us. Trust yourself and the God who loves you. You are not losing your mind. You're going through a period of change, transition, grief, a time of heightened vulnerability. The question might be here, can I allow an honest appraisal of my creatureliness and the limits of my personal resources to lead me to a fuller experience of God's mercy and forgiveness? Again, I'll repeat, can I allow an honest appraisal of my creatureliness and the limits of my personal resources to lead me to a fuller experience of God's mercy and forgiveness? And then there's spiritually. During times of loss, we can expect that our prayer, our relationship with self and God, to undergo some change. God will not abandon us. God can handle our sadness, our angst, even our anger toward God. Can we accept, for example, the challenge that we are all receiving within new rituals of worship? Are we searching out ways of deepening our understanding of the gift of Eucharist, even in our deprivation? Can you allow yourself to adjust your personal prayer to what truly supports maintaining your equilibrium? Need more structure? Maybe you need to return to the tried and true prayers you memorized as a child. Need more reflective time? Use music, meditation, mindfulness, and every tiny little bit of solitude that you can eke out. Need encouragement, support? Turn to your favorite scripture passage or your friends. Stay in touch with the God who loves you. Remember Kubler-Ross's stages of negotiation? Sometimes we try that on God. Have you ever found yourself bargaining with God? It goes like this. So God, if you spare me or my loved ones or my job, I will never miss Mass again. Or I might even throw in 10 rosaries. Such attempts to sway the God who already loves us is not necessarily a healthy and mature interaction. But we've all tried it at times. Finally, a caution. While times of grief can be graced moments of transformation, those kairos moments I mentioned, spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally, excuse me, such times are not typically good times to make any serious decisions about your basic lifestyle. If such decisions are confronting you, if at all possible, save them for later. I'm going to stop now and end with the prayer, or rather the scripture passage that I started with, and then you'll have some time. Again, from the book of Revelations. Then I saw new heavens and a new earth. The former heavens and the former earth had passed. I saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God as a bride prepared to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice saying, "This is God's dwelling among the people. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death or mourning, crying out or pain, for the former world has passed away." Thank you.
We thank Sister Rose for her sharing, and we ask that you be mindful of the questions Sister Beth sent to you yesterday, and they're going to be put up on the screen, I believe, by Aaron. Those questions that we ask that you share in your small groups are: with what did you resonate from the presentation on grief? What new insight into the grief process do you have? In what way are you experiencing your own vulnerability at this time of pandemic? What personal gifts have you become aware of? How have you used these gifts for yourself and for others? What is your emotional and or physiological responses to the imposed changes or losses that you are experiencing?